Hello, Mixed Nut Cases. This is Nuke Jess, and today we've got a fun episode of Nutty Bites for you. With me today...
Hi! Sorry, I'm Tech.
And our resident Batman...
Hello, I'm Sonars Vox, a.k.a. Batman.
So we are going to be doing a Batman-themed episode, and I'm going to admit what brought this about. The stupid Oscar stunt with Michael Keaton and the worst Mr. Freeze and Danny DeVito just got me thinking about Batman. And I was thinking about live action Batmans. And we've talked about who the best Batman is. We've talked about who the best Joker is. But what I would like to do is I would like to cast a live action Batman with actors who have played the roles before, and we can have fun with this. This is magical because we can pull them from any iteration, any time frame. If they're dead, it doesn't matter. They're back to their youth and they're able to perform, and we'll just give them the best directors, right? It's all about casting those actors. If for some reason there just isn't anyone that is good enough, we can reach outside of those that have played, but there has to be a really good argument for that. Ground rule sound good to everyone?
That's great.
All right. Indeed. Shall we start at the top or finish at the top?
No, come on. We got to get people into this. So we got to start with Mr. Batman himself, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Now, we've mentioned before that there is a difference between Batman and Bruce Wayne. So I'm saying, since it's a movie, we're going to have to cast one person to do both roles.
Aw.
That'll make it challenging.
Right.
Especially for me.
Right. But the other thing as well is we all know the best Batman was Kevin Conroy, peace be unto him, but he was the cartoon Indeed. Voice.
We've never seen him on screen as Batman, but he was on screen for like 3 minutes as Bruce Wayne in a Crisis of Infinite Earths crossover.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, that counts.
Yeah.
That counts as Bruce Wayne.
But, okay, so I'll start with this one.
Yeah.
To me, it's got to be George Clooney and nobody but. Now, you're going to say, oh, but he was the Batman in that awful movie. Yeah, fine. Okay, don't care. The thing is that Bruce Wayne is a playboy. He is a billionaire playboy that runs a company. And who is more playboy than Danny Ocean? Think of all the Batman actors. Which one of them have played millionaire playboys? Well, it's him or Val Kilmer, and he's the number two on my list. Because Val Kilmer also played Simon Templar, which is another big
tiny little role that means nothing to nobody.
A tiny little role, right.
It's tattooed on his arm.
It's tattooed on my arm, man. Come on, he's the same.
Oh, what was that movie? The Bishop? Yeah.
The Bishop. Shut up, troll. But to me, in order to... I think that George Clooney captures the Bruce Wayne billionaire playboy vibe that you want perfectly. Action. Anybody can be trained to do action.
Question.
Yes.
Is it George Clooney, at the age he was and level of talent he was, in the movie he was in, or is it George Clooney now, or whatever?
You know what? I like an older Batman. So mm-hmm. If in the movie that we're doing, if we're going to do a Frank Miller-style, grizzled, older, Silver Fox Batman, then yeah, it's got to be Silver Fox George Clooney. Like, I'm seeing Danny Ocean here, which is great, because then you could have Brad Pitt come in as Rusty / Robin.
Hmm. Or one of his other billionaire friends, you know, I mean, that's...
Yeah, so...
Okay, but yeah, so there we go. My choice.
That is an interesting choice. All right, go ahead.
I'm not mad at Clooney, but if you're looking to capture, because Batman, Bruce Wayne is, yes, he's a playboy, but there's a dichotomy there. He's a playboy as a mask to the real man. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody portrayed that better than Christian Bale, because Christian Bale is effortlessly good at switching between charming and dead tired. He's effortlessly good at switching between charming, like, between playful and I've had enough of you.
And he's done that in not just with Chris Nolan, but he's done that in a lot of his other movies as well, where he's able to transform himself to be these characters. Yeah,
it's the Patrick Bateman switch. The I'm charming, I love you, but I want to murder you. Right. It's that gets me. because Bruce Wayne is very much someone who is wearing two masks. He wears the mask of the Bat, and he wears the mask of an actual functioning normal member of society, albeit one that is so wealthy he's disconnected. And I think if you're looking for that, you can go no better than Christian Bale.
He's got the physique as well.
Yes.
We don't need to add plastic nipples to his costume.
Yeah, he's more convincing physically as someone who is and he carries himself physically well too, as that, yeah. You know, when he has to put it on, he hides the pain, but when he's just with Alfred, it all shows.
Yeah, he can be quite human while also, you know, being a, you know, looking like a superhero comic book character, yeah. You know, especially for things like, you know, like in a fight scene, you know, I want this actor to look believable that he was trained by the League of Shadows and turned into a master assassin,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
As well as being a billionaire playboy who's going to drive a Lamborghini to the, you know, to the gala ball.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or as he did in the movie, just go off on a cruise with a Russian ballet troupe, right? Like right.
Now, you know, I gotta agree with you here. Like, I'm not mad at this choice. I kind of like this choice. I like your reasoning. I think it all comes down to what Batman story are we telling? Like I said, if it's a Frank Miller older one, I don't think that Chris Nolan would be the best choice for that. But if we were telling a League of Shadows story, or, you know, like an earlier Batman story, then yeah, I think Christian Bale's a good choice.
Yeah.
It's very, very interesting choices. And I think there's a lot of people that will hold up Christian Bale as their favorite, and for sure, because we're casting between, you know, it's got to be the Batman and Bruce Wayne. It's a really interesting choice. I liked Michael Keaton's Bruce Wayne. It is still my bar none top. I think that he was very limited in mobility for his Batman, and I have not seen The Flash, so I haven't seen his old man Batman. I've often said he could do a really good job and I'd love to see it, but I haven't seen it. So I'm going to say that. I will say I think he probably would be a good choice. I do like the idea of an old man Batman. Mm-hmm. It is a big favorite of mine. And honestly, we could use more of it. We could get we've seen pieces of it, but we've never had a feature length film where it's been old Batman. And what is his name? Now I'm blanking on his name, but give me a minute.
I was going to say, while you're looking at that, I can agree with Keaton for an old man Batman based on one performance.
Oh, Birdman. Yeah.
Oh, Birdman. Yeah, absolutely.
Birdman, like he sold himself so well as an older, tired version of the man who played Batman.
Yeah. Right?
He sold himself so well as I can be charming, but I'm done with this.
And I'll tell you, like, just that stupid little clip from the Oscars, that menacing look, like, I think he could do Batman very, very well. I would love to see him do it. So that's going to be like my standby choice. But an actor that I have seen it do Batman and old man Batman is Ian Glenn, who played Bruce Wayne and Batman. We saw him do Batman in DC Titans. Other people may know him as Sir Jorah Mormont from Game of Thrones. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have to say this as a personal thing. Spoilers. I've only watched the first season of DC Titans.
Yeah. It is fantastic. And another cool thing about DC Titans is it's Wayne Manor is Casa Loma, and they use the inside, the outside, like lots of places, lots of movies have used the outside for Casa Loma to be.
This is a landmark in Toronto.
Yes. If you've watched Scott Pilgrim Saves the World, you know the location.
Staircase.
Yeah. A lot of films use the outside, but this one actually used the inside as well.
So fun fact, the interior of Casa Loma was used for the X-Men, or the original X-Men trilogy. The exterior was Royal Roads University in Victoria.
Yes. There's a lot of like movies that have used Casa Loma's insides. And now that I've been there and I've seen like all the different cutaways and features and stuff, I now recognize it when I'm watching movies. I'm like, wait a minute. I know where they are. So Ian Glenn was such a good Bruce Wayne and Batman. We saw him as Batman. the character was definitely like they showed him as flawed. You know, they showed how he, one of my big things about Batman is Batman is not really a hero. He's a spoiled rich guy having a temper tantrum, because if he wanted to fix Gotham, he could, with social programs, with spending money for actual rehabilitation. The fact that there is Arkham Asylum, which is a torture place for people that are supposed to have mental illness, is a problem. There's a million things that Batman could be doing better.
He's not going to spend his billions of dollars building group homes, but he is going to build the Bat Submarine.
Exactly, exactly. But
there is that problem.
This version of Batman kind of shows that. It shows that he did not, you know, he takes these young boys and trains them to be fighters and has them do his quest and messes with their own heads. And there's a lot of stuff that they got to work through. It's really a good telling, and there's a lot of story there. And
you want your cast list? I don't think we're going to get a cast. Like, we could just argue for 2 hours on just this one character.
I know. Because
this is a debate that the three of us been having for like a decade.
But I like the idea of having like some good ideas here.
Is this not a first night debate for this podcast?
Yeah, this was episode one.
Which is why we can keep coming back to it, and I think it's still entertaining. Yeah. So we're going to transition this then into, if we're, at least for Tech and I, we're doing an older Batman. So who's our Robin? So Christian Bale, if Christian Bale is doing Dark Knight age or now age, that's the other thing. What's your choice there?
So Christian Bale, I could argue actually would be good as an older Batman.
Okay. Because we know he can play anything.
He has a depth of maturity about him in a lot of his roles that suits that well. Because I was going to ask, like, Michael Keaton again was what I was going to ask, but I think you've pretty much answered it with the old man Batman.
I want him to be the older man Batman.
Yeah, because it just works. If we were doing a younger one, I don't think, like, Keaton was great as a subdued kind of, like, he always played off to me as mentally traumatized by what he did at night. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't know how to date properly, despite that he had play, but like he had models on his arms in public all the time. He couldn't have a normal date.
Yeah.
So he came off as older even when he was younger.
I mean, the balding pattern and everything else, he really wasn't a spring chicken.
I genuinely thought we were going to talk about who Under the Mask, though. So if we're doing them both together, I guess we've done it. But Under the Mask, I was going to argue, if you had to have two people playing that have played before and one was under the suit, I would have gone and given that's the only time I would have picked Ben Affleck. Because his workout routine
under
for that
the
movie.
Mask or yeah, in, his, the suit. He,
in the suit.
Oh, okay.
In that movie, he was perfectly, like, he seemed like a perfect Batman physically that stood out. Kilmer was wooden.
A lot of people hated on it as well, but the when the vampire played Batman,
Pattinson.
As a younger Batman, I didn't
as the young
him
one?
Either.
Yeah.
I loved him. I thought he was amazing. Like, that's the thing. There's a lot of really good versions.
Controversially, I think the Batman, I think he had the best Batmobile.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we haven't even gotten into that.
That's a whole other story.
But so you want to move on? You want to move on to Robin?
Okay, Robins. Yes. Yeah.
Now, that's the problem. Which Robin?
Because, you get to choose.
Okay, because with which Batman changes with which Robin? Because we have multiple characters that have donned the mask and played Robin. And just, I'm going to go for the big ones here. There's been a bunch more little ones, but we've got Dick Grayson, Jason Todd, Tim Drake, Stephanie Brown, and Damian Wayne that have all played the role of Robin. And then some of them have moved on to make their own characters, Nightwing, Red Hood, et al. But so which one do you want? And I'm thinking back to the actors that have played Robin. And you've got, you know, like Chris O'Donnell, Casey Kasem, Burt Ward. But if I'm going to pick one, you know, the guy that I think actually did a great job as Dick Grayson, I'm going to pick Brenton Thwaites.
Is that from DC Titans? Yeah.
He's so good. I liked him as as Dick. And especially what they did in that show where he became a Gotham police detective.
Yeah. Right? Chicago, I think, but yeah. might as well be Gotham. I mean, isn't Chicago Gotham? It's, yeah.
And sometimes it's New York, and sometimes it's not, and then
Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. It's every East Coast city.
Yeah.
It's every city on the Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah.
But mostly New York, and then, you know, what's the other city? Then
Bloodhaven.
Bloodhaven.
Bloodhaven is Poughkeepsie.
I think it's supposed to be Boston.
I think it's supposed to be Jersey.
Oh, well.
It's supposed to be like Atlantic City-ish.
Atlantic City.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, it is the scuzziest city I can think of. I'm sorry. Sorry, Atlantic City. We love you. No,
so you want Nightwing.
Brenton Thwaites
for
Dick Grayson. And the other ones, I don't think they've shown up in live action.
There's been a few. We've had Jason Todd in DC Titans. We've had Tim Drake in DC Titans. We've had Stephanie Brown in quite a few of the Arrowverse things and different TV shows. And there was even a Carrie Kelly that showed up in one of the shows. I'm trying to remember all the different iterations, but I know that there's been a couple of times when they've shown up. I'm gonna go with one that is not one of the specific comic book characters, although, as we all know, one of my favorite Robins from the comics is Carrie Kelly. John Blake, is from the Christopher Nolan version, and that's Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, you should go by your first name. I like Robin better.
Yeah. I like the
Corporate Commander himself.
Yes. Well, one, I think he's a great actor, and I think he brings a lot to the characters, and he really brought a lot to that character. I would love to see him paired up with an older Batman, because it would be more of this thing of, you've been taking these children and guiding them through this. I'm an adult, and we're going to form a new relationship, and you know, I can consent. And so I kind of like that as a different piece, but I do like the idea that, I was in an orphanage and he actually did something good, and I always hoped he would have been a better man. And well, now I can try to help him become a better man. I think that would be a great story. And I really think that, Joseph Gordon-Levitt has the chops to pull it off. So that's my choice.
I'm gonna say the empty suit of Robin from Suicide Squad with the spray paint all over it. Because honestly,
you Chris can O'Donnell, say no Chris, Robin in yours.
Chris O'Donnell didn't do it for me. Way too
I was
cheesy.
So hopeful.
Way too cheesy. I was hopeful, but it was garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, he came off as annoying and petulant every single time he opened his mouth. I'm not sold on what is it, Thales? I'm not sold on Titans isn't enough.
Could you see Chris O'Donnell now, though?
A more mature Chris O'Donnell?
Yeah, because
I mean, if we're casting it now, he has played him, and what else have I seen him in, though? Like, I really can't judge whether he's a good
actor
recently.
I've seen him in a bunch of movies, but lately he's been doing the NCIS shows.
But if we're casting an older Robin, it's got to be an older Dick Grayson, which would then require you have a Tim Drake or a Jason Todd or a Stephanie Brown.
Yeah.
Or a Damian Wayne that's taking up the mask for you because your knees are shot and you're 45.
So again, this is where we can talk extras about those specific Robins because there aren't any. But I mean, between Chris O'Donnell and you got Burt Ward. Burt Ward at the time when he was playing Robin could have played Old Man Robin. But I mean, given the choices, honestly, I'm a little torn because Brenton Thwaites, I wasn't really sure I was buying it, but I think maybe I needed more time.
Mm.
Given the options, though, I think if we go with a non-traditional Robin and say he was a Robin actor and cast him in a more Robin role, yeah, I'm down with Joseph Gordon-Levitt any day. He can act circles around most anybody who's done the role.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so if we cast him as an older Robin who's done the thing, then I can see that.
Mm.
And I'm sure you can find, and you can find excellent child actors whose names we do not know.
Yeah.
That there would be an excellent child actor to do Damian Wayne who could come in to.
Oh, God. We've never seen a live action Damian Wayne so far as I know.
No.
That would be a very interesting story.
It'd be interesting because then you're on the level of like you're on the level of Kick-Ass where you've got Hit Girl.
Yeah.
Who's like a tiny little girl at the time running around murdering people. Are you going to do that with Damian Wayne? Are you going to bring that into the franchise? It's an R-rated franchise now, so.
Don't kill anyone, Robin.
Oh, I mean.
Mommy Talia lets me kill people.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to get Tim Gunn casting a Damian Wayne. Please. Please do.
I know we're not talking about cartoons.
Tim Gunn's the wrong name. Anyway, sorry.
James Gunn, you mean Tim Gunn, very different.
Tim Gunn, different person. James Gunn. Although, hey, if Tim Gunn wants to make a live action Batman movie, I'm not going to say no.
The costumes would be amazing. Make it work, designer. All right.
Oh, the Tim Gunn live action.
Ooh, we found Tim Gunn as Alfred, and is like, you're gonna go after Joker with those pants on. All right, make it work, Bruce.
Yeah.
All right. So, we don't want to talk about the, animated, but I do want, since we did talk about Damian Wayne, you've got to check out the Harley Quinn show. Their Damian Wayne is just so funny. So let's move on to Alfred then. Not Tim Gunn, but Alfred, somebody who's actually played Alfred.
Does anybody have anybody else other than Michael Caine in mind?
Yes.
Okay.
And it's Alfred. It's Andy Serkis.
When did he play Alfred? He played Alfred in Batman. You're right. In the Batman. That was actually, yeah.
It was a good performance, but I'm kind of joking. Like, I love Andy Serkis.
No, he did a really good job.
That was not the definitive Alfred role. Okay. The problem we have now is we go from Robin, who had so few, to a bounty of genuinely good Alfred portrayals. There are so many good Alfred Pennyworth actors out there.
Mm-hmm. It's a really hard choice.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I read the list wrong because I was looking at the list of actors who played him, and I thought I saw Rowan Atkinson there. I'm like, ooh, Atkinson.
That's an interesting one.
That is a new, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because there's so many. What James Cromwell has played? Merry Little Batman? Well, I mean, Michael Caine is certainly one of the better choices.
Yeah, Michael Gough from the original Tim Burton Batman. This version, he was the uncle of Barbara.
Yes.
Weird.
Wilson?
That was Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah, no, that was some weird choice.
Jeremy Irons.
Hochu Otsuka or Otsuka in Batman Ninja. That's animated again though.
Douglas.
I didn't watch that. That's the one with what's his face?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Alan Napier goes hand in hand with the 60s Batman being very cheeky and camp. Which is not how I like my, I don't mind my Batman being that, but Alfred needs to be the straight man, not the, yeah.
And it was Ralph Fiennes in the Lego Batman movie.
Yeah. Sean Pertwee, who is the Gotham Batman, wasn't so bad either.
Cause he played
the Cockney version of Alfred,
right.
Which at first I was like, what? And then as he grew as a character was just amazing.
I don't like the show Gotham, but I like a lot of the character work.
Yes.
That they've done in some, I really like their Penguin and their Victor Zsasz. Their Victor Zsasz is amazing.
Yeah.
Sean Pertwee, related to Doctor yes. Who Pertwee?
Yes.
Son?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
I think it's son. I don't think it's grandson, but yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Again, we're looking.
Son of actor John Pertwee, who played Doctor Three.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Nice.
Again, people who've done the voice of Alfred, there's a whole host of them that I'm like, really? Like, oh, yeah. Anthony Head did the voice of Batman in Gotham by the voice of Alfred in Gotham by Gaslight.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
animated Gotham by Gaslight?
Yeah, I guess so. But
there's a lot that we just have not seen.
I mean, for me, it's a toss up between Sean Pertwee because I liked Gotham and I liked his Alfred quite a bit, or just Michael Caine because Michael Caine killed it. Just killed it.
So I have a, you've already said nobody likes this one, but I actually like Alan Napier as Alfred. I think that he would be a fun Alfred.
Which one was again. He in?
He's 66 Batman.
Well, he's kind of cheesy. He was kind of cheeky, right? It was that he was very cheeky about things.
Yeah. I think it could be fun. Especially like have him paired with some of the other people I've cast. I think that would be a fun iteration. I think Sean Pertwee is probably one of my favorite Alfreds, but with the ones that I've cast, he's too young. I would pair him with Pattinson's Batman. But for an older Batman, I want an older Alfred. And I just think that Alan Napier would mesh well with Ian Glen.
So if we're thinking, go ahead.
Alan Napier would be tricky to cast in film, and I don't know how they did it on the TV show, but he is 6'6".
And that's so okay.
You would have a very tall, tall Alfred.
I mean,
looming over everyone.
That's the thing, is I don't mind Alfred being physically imposing a little bit, because he's unassuming, but at the same time can absolutely kick butt, right? Like, he's that guy. I was completely spacing on one that really sits well with me, and an actor that it may not have been the best Batman portrayal at all. It may not have been the best movie at all, but Jeremy Irons in the modern Justice League movie.
Oh, Jeremy Irons is 100%. Alfred. Yeah.
He's super commanding. He's got that, like, you know that he could take over, but he's indulging the child. He's got that going on. I think Michael Caine was a bit too accommodating. He never really cracked down like you need Alfred to do every once in a while.
You need Alfred. Alfred needs to be able to control Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
needs to take the heavy hand. I will agree, you never got the heavy hand from Michael. When he needed to control Bruce, he would do it like his voice would like drop down a level, and he would get, you know, very soft, and he would tell him a story and he would calm him down. Mm-hmm. It was a very different type of relationship. And certainly not the type of guy that you see in like some of the comics or some of the things where, you know, young Master Bruce is being dragged through the house by his ear.
Yeah.
That's not the Michael Caine.
No. He was carrying him and coddling him for sure.
Yeah.
And I think that was a bit too much of that. Whereas with the Gotham relationship, it was almost the opposite at times. He was very harsh to him, but when he needed to, he was calm. Right. He was like more fatherly when he needed to, but that was very much the early days of Alfred trying to figure out who he was to him. I think Jeremy Irons for me. Jeremy Irons does it.
All right.
But that's a tough one.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a hard choice, but I think I'm still going to pick Michael Caine. It depends what story you're telling.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go with my Alan Napier.
Nice.
I'll be the odd one out. Everyone's going to say, I don't know, but I mean, he can do dramatic. He has the pedigree.
He played Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he could really, especially pairing him with Ian Glen, I think that it would be a really interesting, thing. And I can see him and, my Joseph Gordon-Levitt Robin kind of teaming up together to try to change Bruce and change his outlook. So.
I will say, I have an idea for a spinoff episode of this now. Mm-hmm. Worst castings for them possible based on actors that are popular now.
Yeah. So, jeez. Batgirl.
John Krasinski as Batman.
Well, actually.
Robin played by Wee Man.
Okay, so Batgirl. Okay.
Yeah, Batgirl.
Also played by Wee Man.
We have a few choices.
Not that many live action, are there?
There's Alicia Silverstone, and who else?
Oh, there's the one from 66. There's
Yvonne Craig.
The one that had the TV show. There's the one from Birds of Prey, because basically that was Oracle, and I'm okay with Oracle. You know, because if we can choose the different Robins, we can also... Yeah, a different Batgirl.
So
thoughts.
If you go to Barbara Gordon, it expands things a little bit.
Yeah,
because then you get the Oracle from Birds of Prey.
Yeah,
gets added in. Not to be mistaken with the Harley Quinn Birds of Prey. I think in my mind now I'm going to have to go to Batman 66 for this.
I mean,
because that was Barbara Gordon being very as Batgirl, being very plucky, being very like. Very, she was played off as being, you know, a little innocent, but at the same time could kick ass.
Who wasn't in love with that Batgirl?
When you read
the comics, you were thinking of her. I mean, her apartment turns into like her own little Batgirl lair and supercomputer. Yeah. I mean,
and then when you look forward to like the animated series, I'm pretty sure they just based Batgirl's the whole design after her.
Oh, yeah.
In the animated series.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to have to go with for that. I mean, it's hard because there aren't that many choices. Like, you're going to have to go into animated voices if you want more.
Oh, play, animated. Right? It's the Harley Quinn show. Like, that is my favorite from animated.
Yeah.
But we're not doing animated. No, I'm
just like, otherwise, what, you got Alicia Silverstone?
Dina Meyer from Birds of Prey, the TV show. I love her as Oracle. She was in a wheelchair. She was running the computer, and I'm doing older Batman.
Dina Meyer from Starship Troopers?
Yes.
Okay.
100%. Then you sold me if we're doing old. If we're doing an older Batman series where, you know, we've got the pain of everybody's accumulated history is coming to light, then yes.
Yeah.
If we're doing a lighter, younger kind of cast, I'm going to have to go to Batman 66. I'm going to go to Yvonne, right? So, yeah.
How about you, Tech?
You know what? It's a tough one, but I really don't have much to say on this one.
You can say there's no Batgirl in your movie.
No, there's going to be, but I fell in love with the Arkham Barbara, which was voiced by Kelsey Lansdowne.
Okay.
And I love that voice. You know, in Arkham Knight, she was voiced by Ashley Green. You know, there's been a bunch of actors in Lego Batman. She was voiced by Rosario Dawson.
Wait, she was voiced by Ashley Green from the Twilight movies? Nice.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Yes, apparently.
Yeah, cool. I like Rosario Dawson as a Batgirl. I do kind of like that.
But then we're opening up to animated then, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just for
the ones that don't have options.
Like I said, if you have to have a good reason for it, and Tech gave us a good reason.
Kimberly Brooks in the first Arkham game.
Oh, well, Kimberly Brooks is just an amazing voice actress. Again, Batwoman of color, or Batgirl of color.
But that also opens us up to a Black Commissioner Gordon.
Oh, yeah.
We already have that in the movies. The Batman, Jeffrey Wright.
Yes, that's right. Right. So that works.
I think we're forgetting the Batman because it was new. It's new, and we have so much steeped in history.
Yeah, it is.
But also
good,
because
though,
it was not the greatest of releases, right? So, despite being like a really good, gritty early days Batman movie, right?
I agree.
I'm hoping it gets its sequel. Even
I would like it.
It seems
like
DC is really dropping the ball on movies these days.
I could say also that, and I know she played Catwoman in the Batman. I could totally see Zoe Kravitz doing Batgirl. I could see that work.
Oh, are we opening up like Batgirl / Batwoman?
Oh, then, yeah, sure.
Then,
if you want,
then I'm going to go with Ruby Rose.
Oh, yeah.
Problems on the set aside.
Yeah.
Her portrayal of Batwoman, both as like under the mask and in the mask, was great.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for personality clashes, set problems, and all the other stuff, then I would have been happy to watch more serious seasons of that with her as at the helm, right? So.
Yeah, I could totally see that. All right.
Yeah.
Commissioner Gordon, then, since we just talked about Barbara.
So we've got Jeffrey Wright, as I mentioned, but I don't know that the character was a strong enough character in that series to get a feeling of how well he would play Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
I mean, my head's stuck with Gary Oldman. Like, he's just unstoppable in that role.
He did really, really good.
Yeah.
It's probably my second favorite Commissioner Gordon after the Harley Quinn animated Commissioner Gordon. The completely unhinged Commissioner Gordon is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll give you that. That's unhinged, falling apart, big dad energy Commissioner Gordon.
Voiced by Christopher Maloney, who was one of the detectives from Law and Order SVU. Yeah. He's so good. It's such a funny take on that character, especially because the Gary Oldman version is so serious.
Yeah.
And
yes,
it's played so well. Rocked that mustache, which is, you know, as important to the character as the trench coat. I mean, he did such a good, I love the scenes, like when they play on the gag of, you know, Batman disappearing off the roof and all that's what that feels like, you know?
Yeah. I did love Gary Oldman. I feel like maybe Gary Oldman now can fit my movie because I'm looking for an older Commissioner Gordon. Mm-hmm.
Just not the guy from Batman 66.
Okay. No, it's not going to be the guy from Batman 66 or one from the Tim Burton. But I will say, I do want to throw out there that both Ben McKenzie from Gotham, who is an amazing Commissioner Gordon, like Jim Gordon, he's not commissioner yet, but he gets there. But Jim Gordon from Gotham, like, again, that character work, so great.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jeffrey Wright was good, but I'm actually going to pull something from the Snyder. I'm gonna say J.K. Simmons from Justice League.
J. Jonah Jameson?
Yeah, but I liked his Gordon, and I think it could be a fun Gordon. It's a very crotchety Gordon, and I think we could have fun there.
Imagine that J.K. Simmons playing a crotchety character.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would be able to get over the thought of him just at his desk yelling at people while not wearing pants.
Go stop the Batman. And while you're at it, get me pictures of
Spider-Man. Yeah,
the problem with J.K. Simmons is that he is J. Jonah Jameson and did such an awesome job.
But I've seen him be Schillinger. That would be a different movie.
Different movie. But yeah, as Schillinger.
I've seen him play other roles, not just the yellow M&M. Like, I've seen him do a bunch of really serious roles, and I think he could, I think it could work.
Cast the yellow M&M as Commissioner Gordon.
So now we're getting into my brain goes into crossovers, and it's like, okay, in the DC versus the Marvel Universe crossover, who do we cast as Spider-Man?
Yeah, well, it's a different thing.
And then you have the moment where Commissioner Gordon and J. Jonah Jameson sit down and have a conversation about how tough it is dealing with their resident hero.
Oh, yeah.
And they're both played by J.K. Simmons.
Yeah, exactly. So we got to go into our villains. And this is always going to be a bit of a controversial one. So we've got Joker.
Cesar Romero.
Okay. So I'm gonna go against the rules.
I said it the first one. I'm saying it again.
I know.
Cesar Romero.
Sid Caesar. Because we also made that mistake. But no, Cesar Romero was the yes from Batman 66. No. Okay. So here's
my thought. Am I wrong? Sid Caesar, wasn't it? I'm dumb. Yeah.
Here's my thought. Pick somebody new. The point of the Joker origin is that we never know who he is, and we never know where he's from, and we never know his background story, and it changes every time. So pick someone new to play the Joker. Now, Joaquin Phoenix, by all accounts, did an excellent job, but I haven't watched the movie. I really didn't mind Jared Leto's Batman. It was Jared Leto's Joker. I liked it. I thought it was a very good portrayal of a very different type of Joker.
Fan of Joker. Joker fanboy. Joker fanboy.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger, amazing powerhouse performance, but he's I'm not going to fanboy over Heath Ledger. He did a great job. Okay, he passed away, very sad and tragic.
Yeah.
Not my favorite Joker. Mark Hamill is, but we can't count him in this because we're not looking for voices here. But I will say that I think in this case everybody's done a great job. Hang up the paint, get somebody new to do it.
I have a twist on something then.
Okay.
We're talking people who've been cast already in Batman movies.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt having been tormented by the Joker of his era and now taking the mask on.
There's also I think it was in Neil Gaiman, but there is a comic that was written where you find out at the end that Joker was actually Alfred.
Gotham Knights, was it? The UK crossover, or there was a crossover with the UK, but anyway.
Yeah, and it turns out that Alfred became a villain in Arkham to give Master Wayne something to focus on to help with his recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very sweet and endearing story. I don't think it holds any.
Also, demented.
But yeah, but come on, imagine Michael Caine as Joker.
Yeah, yeah. There's also like one of these ones where it was, what if it was Bruce that was killed and then Martha becomes the Joker and Thomas is the Batman. Yeah. How they dealt with their grief.
Now you make me want to have a Malcolm McDowell Joker.
I am going to cheat slightly.
Andy McDowell.
Because he did play the Joker sort of in live action.
Hmm.
I think it was in Supergirl, he was the Toy Man, but then there was a multiverse thing where he became the Joker, and it was Mark Hamill as the Joker. The alternate universe version of the Toy Man was the Joker.
Look, that's not cheating if he's called the Joker.
Yeah, so I'm going to say Mark Hamill because he fits with my old man Batman. I need an old Joker, and it's no, not you. You've been dead for years. And he comes out of the woodwork, you know? And, yeah. and my Ian Glenn really thought that he had killed him. And it was that was the death that turned him bad and all of this other stuff. And this is going to be like that big arc. And there's been other Jokers that have taken up the mantle, and we can have cast new people come in saying that they're the Joker. And then you find out that they've all been just minions of Mark Hamill's the Joker. And we get the laugh.
The Jokers.
Yes, the Jokers.
The one thing I will say is I don't like dark and gritty Joker. Mm. I think Joker has to be silly. He has to be campy. He has to be unhinged. I don't think Jack Nicholson did a bad job.
No?
I think that was a pretty good Joker, but I very much prefer like the Arkham or Harley Quinn Joker than I do to, let's say, the Heath Ledger one.
I think, again, if I go to balance again, especially if I'm going with Christian Bale, again, it's a cop out, but he was the best Joker for a Christian Bale Batman.
No, you're right, because
he balanced between that campy silliness, but that was the mask for him. But
the whole hey, do you want to watch me make this pencil disappear?
Yes,
you know, fantastic, brutal, but, gritty, awesome.
But if I'm going from my older Batman, I want an older Batman dealing with a younger Joker. I want Joaquin Phoenix, because that is a new, fresh Joker just finding himself, and Batman having to deal with a new version of an old enemy wouldn't be bad for me. And he played. That he danced that line of, you know, just a jackass to between being just a guy killing for the fun and rebellion of it to someone who is mentally damaged very much so. Well, right.
Yeah,
well,
Joaquin Phoenix has been dancing the line of mental illness in his characters for a long time. And been doing an excellent job.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's a bad choice. I'm actually not mad at that.
Yeah.
Nutty.
Plus, that gives us a future option for another character in live action that's going to happen that I'm worried about. We'll get there.
Okay. Yeah. No. I still am going to say that I want Mark Hamill. So, I've laid it out there.
Yeah. Oh no, I love that's inspired, especially because of the like tiny little loopholeness of it.
Yep,
I love it. Who's next on your list?
By the way, the whole Jack Nicholson thing, by the way, he made $90 million.
In that day and age?
Well, because he only got $6 million for the role, right?
But the back end?
Yeah, he got the back end, including merchandising related to his character. So anytime the character Jack Napier is mentioned, which has shown up in comics, he gets paid. Anytime there's a reference to any of the storyline or character plots that were in that movie, he gets paid.
All right, so
he got paid for the Flash? He got paid for the Flash.
Possibly.
It was referenced.
This means we can't afford him.
But it's okay. We have magic. It's not money. I just think it's really interesting. All right. So Catwoman got to be our number two villain here.
Mm-hmm.
And I got mine.
It's yours.
Because we're going with an older Batman. Mm-hmm. I want an older Catwoman. And she played it the best, and she can even purr.
Oh, you're going to pick Eartha Kitt, aren't you?
I am going to pick Eartha Kitt. And I am going to choose Eartha Kitt, but I want more of Eartha Kitt in it than was in there originally, because she is not there to entice the Batman. She is there to be all tsundere as you know what, because she's done with his nonsense and she wants nothing to do with him. And he's still trying to flirt with her and she's treating him like she does like every male interviewer that she wraps around her finger. That is the Catwoman I want.
And
I think she'd play well with Mark Hamill.
I love this idea of an older Eartha Kitt, especially if she's now, you know, franchised out and branched out her empire. So there's like an army of like kittens that are going around stealing things from everywhere. And she's running like one of those like ballerina spy academies like in the Avengers.
So wait, now we've got older Batman dealing with a gang of Jokers and the kittens.
Yes, yes, the kittens.
And that means that we can have the Selena Kyle from Gotham, because I really did dig her. I like her a lot. Yeah. Oh, and we can have a cameo by Michelle Pfeiffer as like one of the instructors.
I mean, see you.
And
you,
Halle Berry.
You just got to my pick, because, hey, Hollywood, this is a message directly to you. You're listening. I know it. Hollywood, women over 40 can play something other than mom.
Yes. Yes.
And Michelle Pfeiffer could still kick butt today.
Oh, my gosh.
She absolutely and completely, in a movie that you could write off as being utterly cheesy garbage,
she acted the
heck out of both Selena Kyle and Catwoman.
Yeah.
Right?
She did all the whip stunts herself.
There we go. She probably
and that scene where she's whipping in the museum, that's one take.
Mm-hmm.
She did it all.
What other actress that has played Catwoman has whipped that good?
She whipped it. She whipped it real good.
Real good. Yep. Now, it may come as a shocking surprise to you or to none of you.
No, you're choosing Anne Hathaway.
I'm choosing Anne Hathaway. I love Anne Hathaway. And I think she did a great job. And even like the little character design things of her infrared goggles flip up to make the kitty ears, you know, I like that type of detail. I like her. I think she's a great.
Yeah.
The fact that she also played 99.
Yeah. I hope your director does her better than Christopher Nolan did. Cause I just like 99 and her Catwoman. I just really didn't think that. It lived up to its potential.
The way that they wrote 99 with the whole thing about the plastic surgery and all that, no, they didn't need any of that.
No. Honestly, I think that Anne Hathaway would be a great Barbara Gordon.
Oh, yeah. I think, just as a side note, who are we having direct this movie?
We said it's going to be the most perfect director, so we're not even choosing a director. It's
Quentin Tarantino got it.
Stop.
God, it's all foot stuff. Gross.
No, then he's going to cast Uma Thurman as Ivy, and we don't want that.
No, it's got to be Tim Burton, so we can get Johnny Depp in here somehow doing something.
Oh, gross.
He'd play Jervis Tetch. He'd actually be a good Mad Hatter. Let's not get this wrong. He would be a good Mad Hatter.
You know what?
He'd just bring his own hat collection.
I also don't think he'd be a bad Joker.
Ooh.
If you had a new Batman,
Johnny Depp as Joker, I think would work really well, especially if he gets to like develop the character, you know, like the way that he developed Captain Jack Sparrow. Mm-hmm. I think that could be really well done.
The makeup wouldn't be so much clown as, you know, I don't know how, like, just it'd just be heavy on the eyeshadow.
Like every other role he's
had. And then the Joker with about a dozen scarves doesn't do it for me.
So, the Riddler.
Who have we had play the Riddler live action?
Frank Gorshin from 66 Batman, the TV show and the movie. But we also had John Astin in the 66 TV show.
Gomez?
Yep.
Gomez Adams.
Yes.
Played the Riddler.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Which I think would be a really good choice.
Only if we had Sean Astin playing Robin, just to make it weird.
Jim Carrey in Batman Forever, Corey Michael Smith in the Gotham TV show, and Paul Dano in The Batman.
Which was less the Riddler and more just any other mob guy. Mm. Oh, wait, no, that was Carmen Falcone, I'm thinking. Or the Penguin, I'm thinking of. It was good, okay.
Yeah, no, the Riddler was quite good.
Okay.
He was a lot more Jigsaw-esque.
I think... Corey Michael Smith was one of the two best things to come, like actors in all of Gotham.
Yeah.
But since we're going not with the performance they gave, but the actor themselves, I want nowadays Jim Carrey as the Riddler.
Ooh.
The mature, emotionally intelligent Jim Carrey as the Riddler.
Yep.
He's seen loss. He's matured as an actor. The Truman Show showed he had it all along, right? But I think Jim Carrey now, as opposed to Jim Carrey, the I have to make everybody laugh by being manic, which was what he was, who he was then, would be amazing, especially in an older villain's, like an older rogues gallery.
I think that'd be my pick. I don't mind a manic Riddler, though. I mean, Edward Nygma is supposed to be a screwball. He's supposed to be unhinged. Yeah. Jim Carrey captures that perfectly, but tempered a little bit, like you're saying, with a few more years. I think
I agree.
I think it's got to be Jim Carrey.
I think that's a really good choice. I'm going to go with Corey Michael Smith from the Gotham TV show simply mm-hmm. because I've got lots of older people here and I need a couple of young ones just to be, I especially love the whole, in the Gotham TV show, how he's part of the police force and he seems like he's an ally and then is no longer an ally. So I love that twist.
I mean,
so
him.
Maybe not as a full episode, Nutty, but yeah. You've given me the idea that we need to do this entire mental exercise again, yeah. But gender swap every character.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We could definitely have fun with that. So let's get into the Penguin.
Mm. Now, I mentioned that Gotham had two really good things that came out of it. Their Penguin? Come on. I got to look up the kid's name, and I'm sad that I have to look up his name again, but... because I hadn't looked it up ahead of time, which I was going to do, because he's going to be one of my picks.
I have my choice, and it wasn't an official movie, but it is live action.
Yeah, Robin Lord Taylor Cobblepot in Gotham was, and again, I talk about those balances. He's the balance between being a cowardly, conniving little person and then being empowered and being in control. And I think that's what the Riddler is to his core. When he's confident, when he's on his game, or sorry, not the Riddler, when the Penguin.
Yeah.
When the Penguin's on his game, the Penguin is the master of all of crime. He owns the underworld of Gotham. But when he's when that power is taken away, he's a different person. And I think the Robin Lord Taylor played that very well.
I also think he could play a great Riddler. Just saying. Like that actor. I think he could play a really good Riddler. I'm going to go with Patton Oswalt.
That was my choice too.
I'm sorry.
Are we talking the Batman universe here with Pete Holmes Batman?
Is that
did he not play that in there? What did Patton Oswalt live action play him in?
It was like this thing where he's playing Penguin and the Batman is like killing all of his people and he's like
it was YouTube shorts.
Yeah, it was like a Funny or Die thing and he's like college he's humor. Sleeping. It was a College Humor. Thanks.
You've killed all my heads. He's not dead. He's sleeping.
He's sleeping.
You ran him over with your car.
That is the comedian Pete Holmes playing Batman.
Oh, okay. I don't.
That's where I knew it from. So okay. We're really going off on this now into the left field. Okay, because I would have called Pete Holmes for Batman, but
But Patton Oswalt did a fantastic Penguin in that.
So good.
I love it because I love that.
I would like to see him do it in a serious movie. I think he would be fantastic. It reminds me very much of the casting choice of Danny DeVito. I just didn't like how dirty Danny DeVito was, you know, and it was not my Penguin.
No,
but
that's one of the few characters from the Arkham games that I didn't like the character design of because he's using the bottom of a wine bottle as his monocle, and I don't understand why they have to be dirty.
I liked Patton Oswalt. He had the Burgess Meredith like clean, you know, little tuxedo thing and tails and the elegance. But then he had the humor that I wanted. And he could camp it up, but I think he could also do serious. And we know that Patton Oswalt has a full range of acting. So that's my Penguin.
Yeah, I was going to say Penguin Cockney, bad. Alfred Cockney, good.
And our last villain to cast is Ivy.
I mean, there's only one in my head. This is the problem. There's only one there other than the Gotham ones. Because, I mean, Gotham, you've got two. Three. Because you've got the original young actress who played Ivy. You have a replacement actress who played him. And then... what the heck? Why is Ivy suddenly 10 years older and sexy Ivy?
That was a difficult one.
So it becomes like tough in that case to say who it was really.
Kidman?
No, it was Uma Thurman.
No, it was Uma Thurman. Nicole Kidman
was Vicky Vale.
Right.
Yeah. No, she wasn't Vicky Vale. Who was she? She was the psychiatrist.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, the second love interest.
Yeah.
She played Dr. Chase Meridian.
Yes, Dr. Chase Meridian. Yeah, she wasn't a villain. She was just there.
The Ivy casting becomes one of those things again where it's like, we have Uma Thurman who is a good actress, but in like just such a bad role. such a bad representation of the character, and she was bad playing a bad role.
Yeah.
And then you've got Gotham that didn't give the greatest of sample size of actresses for it, because it was, they were all very short times in the series.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the original girl who was fine. The original, like, quiet, mousy girl that was just, like, there when Selina was around and Selina was trying to help. As far as playing a younger Ivy, that was fine. She was good. But then suddenly they just change actresses, and yeah, it's, you've lost the connection with the character. And then suddenly, yeah, they're like, now Ivy is, I assume, 19 years old, and just suddenly realize the now I can pheromonally control men thing. And for the purposes of the show, that was fine, but I didn't resonate with the actress as being anything other than suddenly the character is different.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I really hated Uma Thurman. I really hated Uma Thurman as Ivy. I did like the little Ivy from Gotham, and I would have enjoyed watching how does she become who she is. But unfortunately, it did not work. So I'm going to use I'm choosing somebody that hasn't been cast. Mm-hmm. So I have two choices that I'm thinking, and they're younger actresses. Janelle Monáe, singer, you know her from Hidden Figures, a bunch of other things, or Tessa Thompson, who played Valkyrie in the Marvel movies. So either one I think would be really good. I want someone that is definitely, I'd like a queer actor to play the role, because to me, Ivy being queer is a big part of her character.
So in the animated world, we've had three different voices.
Mm-hmm.
We had, lost all the names, so I just closed that page, but we had Tazia, someone play in the Arkham games.
Apparently Tara Strong has voiced Poison Ivy, but in Batman Ninja? So there's a lot of this Batman Ninja stuff going around.
We've had Tazia Valença that did the voice in the Arkham games. We've had Tara Strong and Lake Bell, who does the voice in the Harley Quinn TV show.
I love her.
But I love the way Lake Bell does the voice, where it's, you know, darker.
Sarcastic.
Sarcastic, absolutely takes no guff. She's not the seductress that she was in other franchises. You know, she obviously has the powers of seduction, but she's also human and also tries to date Kite Man. So I also am going to go completely off
the plot. Heck yeah.
Completely off the plot. Pick an actress that I think embodies what Lake Bell did with the voice of that character, because that's my favorite Ivy. I think it should be Stephanie Beatriz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Ooh.
Okay.
No, not mad at that.
Not mad at that at all. I love her.
I think as a sarcastic, snarky human, yet overflowing with power, I think Stephanie Beatriz, especially as the detective that she played in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, embodies all of that. I think she'd be great.
And another queer actor, so I'm happy.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another thing. It's another queer actor to play.
I would be remiss if I didn't point out that Ricky Lindholm of Garfunkel and Oates did the voice of Poison Ivy in the Lego Batman movie.
There you go.
Okay, cool.
I think that it would be. All of these are good choices. So what was your choice there?
Mine?
Yeah.
I think Lake Bell was going to be my choice. Actually Lake Bell. I think she could also play the character. Like, she embodies the character well in voice, and I think that translates often to live action as well.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our cast. That's our main cast of characters. There were a couple of extras that we wanted to mention simply because they did have some portrayals that it would be difficult to top.
So they were either good or they were war crimes.
Yes, there is one war crime, actually. There is a war crime on here.
Start us off, Nutty.
So, I'm going to start. Harley Quinn. Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn. She doesn't have the voice from the animated show, but she's fantastic. Margot Robbie, that is a role, like, best, amazing. I can't argue with that.
Okay, I can.
You can argue away. I said I can't. I know you want the voice, and I know you want... Go ahead.
So why can't Tara Strong do Harley Quinn live action.
I actually think that would be fantastic, actually, especially since we went into this older style, the, you know, older characters and everything. Honestly, I could have Diana Rigg play Harley at this point if she's going to be tied up with Mark Hamill. I mean, there's lots of different options. I have heard, what is it? There have been universes or writings where Harley ends up being the Joker's daughter. So there are like things like that where it's. But I do want to give a good shout out to Margot Robbie. She did a great job.
She convinced me that she was in love with Jared Leto's Joker.
Yeah.
And that is the greatest act of all. Because
She convinced me. Like, I can't imagine somebody doing so well of interacting with Bud. And, well, she just had one, right? She didn't have Bud and Lou. She just had one hyena. Mm-hmm. But also, like, talking to the beaver and everything. Mm-hmm. Like, she, that was convincing. It was not off the wall. It was not unrealistic. Her love with an egg sandwich, even though it's supposed to be an egg Sammy, I'm sorry, that's the writer, not Margot Robbie's problem. But she did such a good job. I was so happy.
I'm going to float out the, when I was talking about the Joker thing, I'm going to float out the one I'm hopeful for, but also very scared of. Mm. And that's, Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germanotta. Lady Gaga is playing Harley Quinn in Joker 2, the musical.
I don't know how I feel about this.
I am worried so much. I am worried about this.
You know what? It'll come down to a couple of things here, but it what they do with the voice and a couple other things. It's going to be a wait and see for me.
I mean, she's from the right part of the world, right?
There is that. That is a plus.
I just, and if we're going with, you know, older Harley Quinn, it could work. But the idea that they're making the second Joker movie into a musical, when I heard it at first, it broke my brain. And now I'm just intrigued because this is now obviously Joker's fever dream at this point.
Yeah.
The first one was supposed to be his fever dream. Now it's just obvious. But, no, it's hard to envision anybody but Margot playing Harley. It's going to have to be someone completely new we've never seen before stepping up to the plate to top her in my mind. Mm. But, you know, yeah. Can we talk about the war crime? Can we talk about the war crime?
You want to talk about the war crime next? Let's go to the war crime.
Please. I'm going to say this right now. The fact that anybody allowed Arnold Schwarzenegger to touch a character as nuanced, as pathos filled, as absolutely, if you look at it, justified by his emotion in doing what he did as Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
Joel Schumacher needs to be hit upside the head until he is unconscious with the script for that movie, stuffed in a tiny little space in a spacesuit, put into a Tesla Roadster on the back of a SpaceX rocket, and shot into the sun for that. And the whole time I want to laugh track from Arnold Schwarzenegger in that role playing in the helmet of the spacesuit.
Nice to meet you.
Time to chill.
And now, at the same time, there is one way they could redeem it, especially if there's one way we could redeem this character, especially if we were playing an older Batman versus his older Rogues Gallery movie, Sir Patrick Stewart.
Ooh.
That is excellent.
I do like
Especially with all the work that he's done on Picard as older, sadder Picard.
Yeah.
That's Victor Freeze.
That's a good choice.
I've been holding this one in my heart and in my mind for years now. He would be, if you've seen his King Lear, he looks the role in King Lear when he performs on stage so well. Physically, he could embody the frailness of Victor Freeze that the suit gives, that the suit counteracts. He's got the gravitas as an actor to play that. Again, Picard shows it. I think it would be amazing.
I have one small alteration to make, though, if Patrick Stewart is playing Victor Freeze.
Mm.
The role of Mr. Freeze's wife will have to be played by Cillian McKellen.
Oh, God.
I thought we were going to do the gender bent episode. It's another one, but it's a perfect casting.
um,
I mean, there's no one he loves more on this earth. So
there is no one he loves more on this earth.
Okay, maybe his wife. Maybe his wife. But
wow.
Maybe. Hard maybe, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so gosh. So we've seen two or three versions of Bane.
Three, if you count the Gotham one, which was a weird one.
Yeah, I'm going to say that while I do think Tom Hardy is the best that we've seen, I think we can do better. And Tech had a great idea.
Yeah, so the whole point of Bane is that, you know, well, one, has to be Latino.
Yeah.
Two, has to be injected full of toxins and poisons that changes his body into some sort of like hulking figure. So it could be anyone you want inside, and then we'll just use special effects to make his body into whatever we need when we inject him with the toxin. So my choice is, I love it when he acts as villains. I say make John Leguizamo do it. I think he'd be great. What's the matter, Nutty?
I just got a really good idea.
Better than John Leguizamo? Like,
yeah, I feel bad. I want it to be an actual Mexican actor. Because
you know what really bothers me?
Yeah.
When I mentioned this before the show started, you guys are like, oh, it's great.
That is the best. No, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I was pitching him as Harley Quinn. So
right.
I agree. He is amazing. I'm all for it too. He's perfect, especially with our older Batman. And like you said, as he played the role of Violator in the Spawn movies, and I say movies because he did the live action and the animated. Mm-hmm. He's perfect. He is fantastically perfect. And I love that. I was actually stressing my head to think of someone who could play him that was actually Mexican. Cause I think is Leguizamo, is he Puerto Rican? I'm not sure. But Diego Luna came up on my Google when I was searching for actors. And then in my head popped Pedro Pascal. And I was like, oh, what an idea. But I still think John Leguizamo is probably going to be better because of his, you know, what we've seen him do as that character from Spawn.
John Leguizamo is a dual citizen of Colombia.
Colombia.
He was born in Bogota.
There we go. Terrible.
That suits that incredibly well, the fictionalized heritage of the character. And anybody arguing that John Leguizamo isn't physically imposing enough, just he's off the Venom.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. It's
now, if you want a venomized version, I'd say Dave Bautista, but you know,
or go to Mexico and find any of 100 great luchadors.
Yeah,
to play Bane, any one of them.
I'm sorry, I just had a thought. Yeah. Danny Trejo.
I just had the same thought. I was just thinking, like, who's an old Mexican actor?
Yeah.
That's the problem with that is he'd scare all the other actors and then, you know, be the nicest man on the planet to them and give them amazing tacos. But I still got to go to that taco truck.
Yeah, absolutely. Trejo's tacos, absolutely.
I think I'm going on a road trip now.
So,
you want to talk about imposing physiques for Bane? I just posted a link to a picture. Tell me what you think of that.
Yeah, Danny Trejo definitely has an imposing physique. He's not that tall, but he's imposing. And
Danny Trejo, 1986 on Muscle Beach.
Yeah.
Well, because we're also talking like throughout the history of their acting as well. So Danny Trejo, when he was more imposing, but with the grit he has now and the acting chops he has now would be great.
I love it.
Him and Con Air vintage.
Yes.
So another really favorite role is that many of us, at least Tech and I have, is Victor Zsasz. Mm-hmm. We've seen quite a few Victor Zsasz. There's like four big ones. And for me, there's one that outshines everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And we may be in agreement. So go ahead, Vox.
Are you talking Anthony Kerrigan in Gotham?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Is the best fixtures, yes, Zsasz I've ever
super
seen.
Super creepy, but also capable of those moments of like friendliness, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the humor.
Yep.
Yep.
Does now, having not watched a lot of Gotham, does the Victor Zsasz character in Gotham have the tattoos? That the...
Or the scarification? Yeah, I think it's scarification in Gotham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's see. I don't recall. off the top of my head?
I don't know that he has the tattoos, but he does scar himself. He does cut himself.
Yeah, because in the original character, he's got like he's got the numbers of his kills.
Yeah,
yeah,
like in scratched up all over his body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I just love the Gotham version. Go ahead.
So I'm gonna say this too. The actor himself, Anthony Carrigan, best part of the show, Barry by far. If you haven't seen Barry, watch Barry for him.
Okay, good to know. His Victor Zsasz has charm. Mm-hmm. His Victor Zsasz is menacing, and his Victor Zsasz is just crazy enough that you don't know what he's going to do, mm-hmm. and that is what makes him awesome.
Yeah.
I did not like Victor Zsasz from the Birds of Prey movie. As much as I love that movie, I did not like their Victor Zsasz. So
there is an upcoming Superman movie coming in 2025, mm-hmm. and Anthony Carrigan will be playing the role of Metamorpho.
Ooh.
Okay.
Was is that the Superman Legacy?
It just says Superman. I don't.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. I don't know Metamorpho off the top of my head.
He appears to be two or three superheroes together, but apparently.
All right.
Who else are we going to have? Oh, it's a James Gunn.
Oh, it's going to be good then.
Nathan Fillion's in the cast.
Awesome. Okay, then it's going to be better. Mm-hmm, yeah.
mm-hmm. Green Lantern, maybe?
Fun DC related thing as well. Apparently, when he met Pete Davidson on the set of The Suicide Squad, mm-hmm. Nathan Fillion thought, because he had all these preconceived notions, he's mm-hmm. like, we're not going to get along. He's going to be a bit brash and young. And it turned out he was super nice and they became really good friends. And that's why Pete Davidson played his brother on The Rookie.
Oh, I didn't know that he did.
Yeah, cool. He did. He played his younger, troubled stepbrother on The Rookie, which is fun. Like, I love stuff like that.
Awesome. So I will finish this up with the last honorable mention. I will finish this up with the last honorable mention, and that is my man BD Wong as Hugo Strange. Mm-hmm. He was amazing. He was scary. He was awesome. And I know there's been other Hugo Stranges, but that to me was definitive.
Hugo Strange has always struck me. In the Batman media that I have consumed, Hugo Strange has always consumed me, has always, seen to me to be a, like a one-note character. Like, I've never seen a lot of depth in it. It's just, oh, he's the guy that runs Arkham. He's kind of weird and kind of says these crazy poetic things. He's like very Shakespearean. I don't see a lot of depth in that character. And you want to cast amazing powerhouse actor BD Wong that we have been in love with since we saw him on Oz so many years ago as Hugo. That's cool. That's great. I never saw the role. That's awesome. I'm sure he'll do a great job.
He's just amazing. BD Wong is amazing as Hugo Strange. And it's, what Hugo Strange from like the comics, what is really good is he's playing God, right? Mm-hmm. And he's so detached from reality. And BD Wong nails it. It is just so good. I love how he did it. So I'm was Googling to try to see if there were other actors, there's only suggestions, and some of these suggestions are pretty good, like Giancarlo Esposito and John Delancey and
that'd be insanely good,
especially if he was working with Mr. Freeze as portrayed by Sir Patrick Stewart.
Oh my god, that'd be so funny at Arkham. Oh yeah,
yeah. I had somebody mention Charles Grodin, and I'm like, that's an interesting one. Sir Ben Kingsley. Okay. Liam Neeson. There's a lot of them. Okay, Matt Berry is an out there one in my opinion, but there's a lot of areas that you could go, but I just Ian McShane, that's a good idea too. I just loved BD Wong, so yeah.
I have a headcanon moment now. It is totally headcanon that Dr. Wu hiding from InGen and the fallout of all of his antics there is hiding in Gotham as Dr. Hugo Strange. Jurassic Park, B.D. Wong played Dr. Wu, the true villain of the true villain of the series. He was just a little lab tech nerd in the first movie, and then he went on to be the guy who created Indominus Rex and all of that. If we're going forward, yes, he's hiding from InGen in Gotham.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, I do have one other thought for a character that didn't get a good portrayal in any media that I would love to have got a better portrayal and the actor to play them. Garfield Lynn's Firefly. There was a Firefly in Gotham, but it wasn't the Garfield Lynn's character. Right? I want Garfield Lynn's as played by Steve Buscemi.
That's
Steve Buscemi as Firefly?
Yes.
That is an interesting one.
One, because he is a phenomenal actor. And he could play the tormented Firefly well. And two, because as a firefighter who has been through some things, he knows how to react around fire.
Well, that was better than my idea I had earlier for Firefly, where we have Jim Carrey as Fire Marshal Bill. Let me show you something.
Jesus, that scares me so much. Let's just cast everything else is so good, and then he pulls that out.
Let's just have a movie where the Riddler, as played by Jim Carrey, cracks mentally and becomes Condiment King, the Calendar Man, Crazy Quilt, and Firefly throughout. Jim Carrey playing them all.
Wow.
Who do we cast as Clayface?
Ooh. There's only one.
Who is it?
Alan Tudyk.
Oh, Alan Tudyk.
Oh, yeah.
Thespian!
He's so good.
Or Andy Serkis, because he can play, CG characters. But yeah, so these were some of our choices, and we just wanted to geek out about Batman iterations without going back to the old episodes that we've already done. So we had a lot of fun. If you have arguments with our choices or you have your own ideas, please let us know. You can go and chat with us on the Discord, in the Facebook group, wherever. Just listen to the details as we say goodbye. So thanks so much for joining us, everyone, and bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Before we go, we want to thank our patrons, without whom we wouldn't have two episodes a month. And we want to thank you so much for backing us. So
thanks for holding the gun to our head, guys.
Thank you to our top patron, Jax, and our other big daddies, Jason and Rich the TT.
Thanks, daddies.
Thank you to our patrons of the arts, Hugh, Mark Cabot, the Encaffeinated One, and Susanna. And thank you to all of our other patrons, our lifeblood of this campaign, keeping us going. Thank you to Shane, Selgenor, Andy, Cliff, Grig, Harold, Ian, Justine, Ken, Kinsey, Melissa, Mike, PCAT, Radical Geek, Will, and Zachman. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-Nutty42.